Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Ziggy Rodriguez here.
That's me.
And unfortunately, Tom is not with us.
He's not in that way.
Well, no, he's no longer with us. But he'll be back next time. Hopefully, you know, because, yes. You know, it's the weekend of the resurrection,
yes,
coming up. And so Tom will be back with us.
Tom's going to love the fact that now, you know, we've had a lot of excuses that we've shared with the audience, all of them true, as,
yes,
for why he hasn't been able to be with us.
He's a busy man.
But this is the first time I think he's died since,
yes,
or that was the implication.
And let's not worry anyone out there. He has not actually died.
Right.
So it's okay. He's died to us. So we've rendered our garments, you know, in the Hebrew tradition. No, Tom will be back. But we do have a special guest. It's my dad is actually in the cafe.
Yes.
He is, and he's waving at us. He's
he's
sipping virtual coffee and eating a delicious donut with sprinkles. So, Dad, I'm just saying hi to you. And we are going to continue. So here we are. We find ourselves starting Holy Week. Mm-hmm. Which means it's the end, that Lent is rapidly coming to a close, just a few more days of Lent. And I hope your Lenten experience, your penitential practices have borne fruit. I hope that it's been a blessing of a Lent for you. And now we kind of shift gears. It's kind of like Super Lent now, you know, because we're really, like, we're starting with Palm Sunday, the Passion of the Lord, you know, and all the readings that we experience, and the crowd shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." You know, it just marks a really important time that as we get into Holy Week, and we have the Chrism Mass, and we'll have, you know, Holy Thursday and Good Friday, we'll have the Easter Vigil, and of course the Easter Sunday Masses. And then there's that day of rest that the Lord asked us on Easter Monday, you know, the Monday after, where all the priests and all the clergy sleep in. So there's that beautiful day that comes, very holy and sacred day. But so in the midst of all that, we thought we would do a show and kind of focus on, like, the whole idea of Jesus on the cross, mm-hmm, right? And what that does for us in a very practical way. We always talk about how, you know, Jesus reconciled us to his Father by essentially dying on the cross, right? His suffering, death, and then ultimately his resurrection. And so we see this, and that's why the Paschal Triduum, those sacred and holy 3 days, are so profound to us, and why it's beautiful to celebrate. And I hope that maybe if you haven't done that in a while, or maybe you've never done it, going and celebrating the sacred Triduum, those 3 days, starting Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and then obviously Holy Saturday into the Easter Vigil, if you do that, I'm telling you, the spiritual fruits are just amazing. But when we experience that, right, that is the high point of our transition from Lent to Easter seasons. So there's that 3 day, it's a season unto itself, the sacred Triduum. And I'm talking about that just because I think it's good for us to focus on what the point of all that is. Yes, Jesus is making all things new. He is reconciling us to the Father. But at the end of the day, what it means is, we're having our sins forgiven, mm-hmm, right? The scriptures are so beautiful in how they refer to Jesus as becoming sin, the one who was without sin, becoming sin,
yes,
for us, right? And what a powerful image that is, right? Who, he doesn't deserve it, but he willingly takes it on. And what he's taking on is just all of the ugliness of humanity, all of the fallenness, the brokenness, the disenfranchisement, all the terrible things that we've ever done, like all through history, the terrible things that we are doing, and indeed the terrible things that we will do as human beings, to ourselves, to each other, to God, to our neighbors, whatever. And the thing is, he takes all of that on and basically forgives us our trespasses, right? And we were taught, like, earlier in his ministry, Jesus taught us how to pray. In the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we have the Our Father prayer presented to us. And there's some really important lines there that we kind of want to break down. When it comes to focusing and talking about what Jesus essentially is doing on the cross as he dies on the cross, and then when he rises from the dead, that reconciliation process, like we are forgiven our trespasses, right? And that's why when Jesus taught us the Our Father prayer, he taught us how to pray, right? So he expects us to say that. You know, it's like when he says, forgive us our trespasses, right? Forgive us our sins. It's something that we need to remind ourselves of quite often, right? Because we need to ask for that forgiveness. But in a more profound way, you have to make sure you tie it to the next line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others.
Right.
And that's a bit of a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, we typically are a lot happier with the first part of the phrase rather than the second
give
part of the phrase.
Give me $100, thank you, and then I give it away. Wait, what? Right? You know, the first part is it's a great blessing when we rest in that, right?
Right. Well, I mean, so, I think it's good we've got two sections here of the Our Father that we can dig into as we reflect upon the cross. And, you know, and first I should say, you know, I was being a little glib in saying, you know, we prefer the first part, but not the second part. Fact of the matter is, some people really struggle with the first part, too. You know, being able to look at Christ, and especially if someone is struggling with shame from past sins, which has caused them to not just feel guilty about things that they've done, but has changed how they look at who they are.
Yeah, self-esteem issues that come from, like, addictions and just having the burden of sin on your back, you know, bad relationships, abuse that's happened to you and things like that. Those are some terrible burdens that people have, right? So we know people struggle in forgiving
themselves. Right. And it could, and you bring up a good point in terms of also past wounds and stuff like that. Sometimes it's not actually the stuff that the person has done, but but past wounds, you know, they weren't loved in the right way by a parent that allowed them to receive themselves as loved or lovable. And so whatever they did, even if it wasn't like really, really terrible things, it makes them feel unforgivable and unlovable. And so, and we'll have to deal with that part too, right? The fact that the cross is there for us to allow ourselves to experience that reconciliation with the Lord.
Right. And most people who are listening probably have not had these kind of past issues, and they're not in that really, really bad way. And I get that. But even us, even the people that are, we'll just call us, quote unquote, in a normal situation, right?
Yeah.
In an average situation, we still need to be reminded that we need to ask for the forgiveness of our trespasses. Because regardless of how okay we think we're doing, we are still trespassing.
And something that my spiritual director of many years has always said too, because he would a lot of times,
I thought you said he doesn't say anything, he just shakes his head. There's a lot of that going on. I'm just teasing.
No, but a lot of times he would end his confessions saying, you have to also forgive yourself.
Yeah.
And apparently that was something that was a practice that he would say among many I came to learn and talking to others, you know, within our diocese who've gone to him for confession. And this is partly, you know, this goes back to what we've talked about in the past. You know, at the end of the day, God is our judge, and we cannot put ourselves in the judgment seat of God, including towards ourselves.
Yeah.
And if God is here to say, you are redeemed, I receive you, I've died for your sins, you are forgiven, and then we want to be our own judge, and we want to say, no, I want to be harsher on me than you want to be, you know, and we want to beat ourselves up.
Or you start
up
telling yourself you don't deserve it.
Yes.
Right? So you stop talking to God.
Yes.
I don't deserve his love. I'm so bad. Right? And people can find themselves in those places, and that's not a healthy and a good place to be.
And so then we're at that point, what we're doing is he's pouring out his mercy, but if we're refusing to receive his forgiveness, then at the end of the day, what's the gift if it's not received? You know, it has to be.
Well, it's not a gift, right?
Right.
It is actually not a gift if it's not received.
Yes.
And so at the end of the day, it's just something that sits there on the table, unopened.
Unopened,
you know,
yes.
Waiting for you to receive the grace that comes from that. And you know, this is why there's a great gift that's given by the church in us celebrating Easter every year.
Yes.
Right? We need to be reminded of what Jesus did. We need to be reminded of the grace. We need to especially be reminded of the forgiveness, the reason for the season. We say that at Christmas time. Jesus is the reason for the season. It's not all just about Santa Claus, you know. And at the end of the day, Easter, Jesus is the reason, and what Jesus accomplished is the reason why we have Easter. And so we can go into all the motions, because as Catholics, we're really good about the motions, about doing the stuff, sit, stand, kneel, right? We're really good at going and reading our parts, you know, aloud at Mass when we do the Gospels. And so we start to see all that, but we participate, but sometimes we need to stop and reflect. Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
What is this all about? Why is Jesus actually dying?
Right.
And if you stop and think about that, and that's one of the things I also love about a Catholic church, is when you go in there, usually there's a big Jesus hanging on a cross behind the altar. And you just fix your gaze there, and then you start going like, wow, like he did that for me. And that's a powerful reminder. That's why Jesus is still on the cross for Catholics in the way that we remember him. Like, to me, it's like this Hallmark card.
Right.
You know, it's something that's given as a reminder of what he did. I mean, if we saw an empty cross, like if you go into one of our separated brothers and sisters in Christ, right? So a Protestant church, they'll have an empty cross there. And they'll say, don't you know Jesus is, he's resurrected. He's not on the cross anymore. And we don't re-crucify him.
Right.
We preach him crucified, as Paul says.
Yeah.
Right? Because we need to be reminded what he did. It's like every time you walk into a church, God has given you like this little Hallmark card to say, right, I love you. I love you so much, John 3:16, that I sent my only son so that he would die for you, so that you could have eternal life. I mean, he said that. And so every time we go into church and look there, and especially like in this very penitential season, and as we get into the Paschal Triduum and we kind of retrace Jesus' steps to the cross, and then on the cross, and then off the cross, and then in the tomb, and then out of the tomb, when we follow along in that path, it's like living that again. And we are basically, I don't know, we enveloped into that mystery.
Right.
And then we remember why Jesus did it. Oh, he did it for me. Right, I hear those words, but now I need to understand. Every year I need to be reminded, just like every year I need to remind myself or be reminded of special anniversaries for, you know, important events in my life. But then, you know, birthdays and just things that we need to remind ourselves every year, every trip around the sun, you know, we need to stop and go like, you know, as a matter of fact, Jesus did this for me.
Right.
Right? And we know he did it for everybody, but he did it for me especially.
Well, and I think that, you know, some of us might still struggle understanding like why Jesus came to die and why. But I think it's important for us to kind of take a step back and remember what we talked about, you know, during the Advent series and the early part of this year and in previous episodes as well, that link between sin and death boils down to the link between death and our fear of death, right? A lot of times when we sin, we might not be in touch with this at the time, but there is a fear of death within us that is, Wisdom 2 talks about this extensively. That it's not
We've
just
done a show on it.
Yeah, I've done a show on it, done a couple of shows on it. Or it's not just a fear of the biological reality of death, but fear of ultimate meaninglessness, that this is all that there is, fear of personal annihilation, that when you die, you just die, and
just
eventually you'll be forgotten, and there's
fear
nothing.
Of insignificance.
Yeah. And so as a result, what do? You say, well, then I have to get my salvation here on earth because there's no further chance for salvation after I die, because when I die, that's just the end. So people are trying to say, when we are sinning, When we are rebelling against God's law, what we're doing is we're trying to create for ourselves salvation here. And instead of receiving from a God who loves us and has created us for eternal life forever with him, right, we want to take for ourselves.
Yeah, instead we focus on like filling up Santa's sleigh.
Yes.
Right? We want to have big Christmases and, you know, go on big trips and have a great time, and because this is all we got.
And at the core of that is there's just that fear. And that desire for control that comes from that fear, and that pride that comes from that desire for control. And at that point, once you've let those sort of mechanisms within our soul take control, at that point, any number of sins can come in, right?
Yeah.
And so it should not surprise us that God would show us that he would step into our fears. He would step into that desire for control and show us what utter surrender looks like. he would show us the courage of him stepping into the shoes of death, stepping into our sufferings, but not just our sufferings generally, but the ultimate suffering, that total self-gift, pour himself out for us to show us the reality of who he is within his heart. He is love. He is a loving father, and he desires to pour himself out for us, and he desires us to receive him so that we can pour ourselves out for him to others.
Yeah,
right?
No, that's all beautiful. And the thing is, at the end of the day, you know, just we should not be afraid to ask for forgiveness.
Right.
Right? Jesus taught us that prayer, and I don't think he'd ever teach us a prayer that was not going to be efficacious. I do not think that he would say, hey, say these words, and just kind of walk away chuckling, they're probably going to say those words, and it's not going to mean anything. Of course he doesn't do that, right? And the reality is he knew all this stuff was going to happen, like when he was teaching us how to pray.
Right.
And so he knew that we needed to ask for that forgiveness. So forgive us our trespasses, right? Forgive us our trespasses. This is part of a prayer. We need to not be afraid. You know, no matter what state of sin and where we are and what we think about what we're doing, we might not even think it's all that bad. Sometimes when we think it's not all that bad, it's actually worse than we think, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like at the end of the day, just put all that aside and just ask for forgiveness, right? Pray that prayer. Now, the other side of that, so if we're at the point where we go like, okay, all right, Deacon Jeff and Ziggy, I understand I need to ask for forgiveness. Jesus wants me to ask for forgiveness. He facilitated the whole forgiveness process through his death on the cross and his resurrection. So yes, I get it. All right, so I will ask. Is that enough? And the thing is, you know, yes and no. Okay, so the no part is this. You need to understand something. Jesus tied another condition to that, right? Forgive us our trespasses. How? As we forgive others. As we forgive the trespasses, those who trespass against us. So what he's saying is, what we're saying actually, he's teaching us to say, Lord, I want you to forgive me in the same way that I forgive others. Mm-hmm. He is tying our reception of the grace of forgiveness to how willing we are to forgive those who have trespassed against us.
Yes.
That's like really hard.
It is. I mean, but at the same time, we have to understand, you know, how, like, what does it say in the letter of John? How can we love the God that we cannot see if we hate the brother that we can see, right? I mean, I've heard some Robert Hutton here in town. He gave a talk to young adults, and he said, imagine the person that you just can't stand the most. Whoever it is in the world, whether you know them personally or not, when you think of them, they make your skin crawl. Think of that person. That's how much you love that person. That's how much you love God, right? Which is,
it's really challenging.
Yes,
it's really challenging. And Jesus said it, so it's got to be true. So we have to work through that. Now, God knows that we struggle. God knows that we fall short all the time. And so we pray about that and pray about how to forgive others, especially the ones that you don't want to, because the forgiveness you receive is conditional upon how you forgive others. And if you don't forgive others, what you just said that Robert had talked about, but there's also where, the scribes and the Pharisees asked, or the person asked, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Well, he says, well, this is the greatest commandment. Love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? These two, the law and the prophets rest on these two commandments. And it's like, so the guy asked for what's the greatest one. I don't know why. Maybe he wanted to go like, well, let me prioritize that one. And if I got that one right, then the other ones kind of fall into place, or I don't have to worry about it as much. And so but he asked for one. He actually got two for the price of one. And normally that'd be a good thing. But again, there's a conditional aspect of things, because basically you can reword that and say, You cannot love God unless you love your neighbor.
Right.
You cannot love your neighbor unless you love God.
And Jesus, our Lord, later extends that to include love your enemies.
That's exactly right. And so it's starting to get, it's like he's got a plan.
Right.
Right. That we're supposed to be following. And it can be a challenge.
Well, like we talked about in previous episodes, you know, he is love and he created us in his image. He created us to become love. And so in order to do that, he had to give us freedom, right? Because if he just programmed us to love, that's not love. There's no generosity in that. We're just a bunch of little love bots walking around, right? And so
there's a TV show called Love Bots. Sure.
But at the end of the day, he gives us this freedom. And a lot of times we abuse that freedom. We don't use it for its purpose, which is to choose love.
Right.
But that's why he gave us freedom in the first place, so that we could, like him, become love by and through his grace, right? And at the end of the day, God knew when he gave us his freedom, he knew what would happen. Like, the fall did not surprise God. Our sins have never surprised God. He has a love for us and a plan for us individually and as a human people that takes all of our mistakes and all of our sins into account, and all the mistakes and sins of everybody else into account, right? The people who have hurt you, like we said in some recent episodes, it didn't begin with them. And the people who hurt them, it didn't begin with them. It all goes back just to the fall and our fallen state as human beings. And at the end of the day, God is trying to help lift us out of that. He has taken all the violence of the world upon himself. So, yes, he's taken your violence upon the world. He's taken that upon himself. And that's the first part. Forgive us, but he's also taken upon himself all the violence that's been inflicted upon us. And yes, it's very, very, very hard for us to come to terms with that sometimes, because some of the things that have happened to us are just, sometimes they're almost impossible to even say out loud to a trusted friend, because we're still dealing with the trauma, we're still dealing with the pain. But God desires, by his grace, by a miracle of his grace, to help you grow in your capacity to join him on the cross. Join your sufferings to him and join him in saying, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And join him in saying, "It is finished."
Yeah. Remember that, especially that line, "It is finished."
Yes.
Right, which were his last words on the cross before, you know, he gave up his spirit, as John tells us in his gospel. And the thing is, "It is finished" means it is consummated. It's consecrated. It's complete. The reconciliation is in. This is the process. This is what's happening. He is now the wedding feast can begin, right? And we are invited to that feast. And so what Jesus has laid, a banquet of mercy and grace and forgiveness out for us that we are to receive. You know, when we're in the church and wed to him as the bridegroom. And so this is why we need to look at this particular Lent as a maybe even a new experience for each one of us. Take an opportunity to stop and think, "Wow, you did that for me?" Mm-hmm. And I promise you, where all the difficulties and the challenges, there's not a challenge that Jesus cannot overcome for you. Right, you just have to recognize that. You just have to, because we're gonna sin. You said that, you know, that we're just he made us. He gave us freedom, and with that freedom, we unfortunately make mistakes and do bad things. But at the same time, with that freedom, we can choose love, which is that's the only kind. Love is a free gift, and it has to be received as a free gift. It can't be coerced, and so that's why it's important that you freely receive the love and you freely give the love. Right, it's only true love if it's a free gift, and it's not done for your own sake, but for the sake of the other. And so, when you start to look at it like that, then realize what Jesus did is for your sake. He did it for you, so that you could receive that grace. And so, this may be an opportunity for you to reconcile with him for like maybe first time in a long time to realize that he did this for you. And so, Jesus on the cross. And connecting that with "forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the trespasses of others," right? Those, the people who trespassed against us. When we like are part of this equation, now all of a sudden, it's not a negative, bad, ugly world anymore. It's a fallen world, but it can be reconciled right? We can be reconciled. We can be reconciled in this lifetime, right? It's not something that is going to require you to wait until you die. Mm-hmm. And the longer we put things off, you know, the longer that the disease festers, the longer that the cancer grows, the longer that the terrible stuff builds up, you know, and you start to realize at some point it's too much and it's a burden that we can't bear, right? Not everybody's in a horrible place, but I promise you, everyone who is in a horrible place started in just kind of an uncomfortable space. And it just started little by little and built up to the point where they lost control and they kind of gave up. And that's why every year we get this opportunity. Every year we get this Lent, a time of introspection, a time of reflection, and then a time of renewal, right? This is why the church says, hey, you really need to go to confession during this period. This is the time to do it. If you don't go that often, go during Lent. And there's going to be lots of penance services in the church, right? My parish is having one the Wednesday before Holy Thursday. And you stop and think, like, the church is going to make room for you. They're going to make opportunities for you to reconcile yourself, to be reconciled through Jesus, right, in the sacrament of confession. And then when you enter into the Paschal Triduum, you entered in those sacred 3 days, you look on them with fresh eyes. Just think about how what it would have been like for Paul to have the scales removed from his eyes, right, after having been blinded with hatred for so many years, persecuting Christians, the terrible things he did, and probably thought he didn't deserve anything. You know, he had some pretty self-incriminating scripture passages, right, where he talks about, not that I have, you know, done this, you know, I pummel myself with fear and trembling. We don't have to fear and tremble anymore if we rely on Jesus and we know that Jesus loves us so much he would die on the cross. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.